Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord. You have given us your word, and that word can create and fashion us. That word can move through us to bring forth, O God, what you have intended in that word in the lives of others. May we become a people of your word, a people able to communicate your word through the giftings that you have given us, through the callings that you have given us, through the anointings that you have given us. May we communicate the realities of your word. For your word was given to us so that it could be expressed through each one of us, to become a blessing to the nations around us, so that the nations would be able to see that within us and amongst us dwelt the living God, that we had access to the living God, and that access to the living God enabled us to live in the supernatural all the time. May we become such vessels that are able to manifest and express the supernatural in everything that we become, in everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. As you lead us, O God, to take steps to express the supernatural that you are putting into us, may we come forth by your Holy Spirit to see the wonder of Jesus whom you have given us, Jesus through whom all things are expressed, Lord. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We are on the subject of spiritual dynamics. And we're trying to figure out how we function. Now what I say, although it is based on scripture, is not thus says the Lord. This is how I think it all comes together. And I could be wrong in some areas, and I could be entirely true in certain areas. But I think in general, I'm trying to give you a figurative expression of how you and I tick in God and by God and through God. And I hope that you will understand what God has designed you to become, that you will take pains to bring out what God has designed you to be, so that you can see the actual reality of the Lord your God through your life. See, very often we live looking at what other people do, what other people say. And we say that so-and-so is very anointed, so-and-so is very gifted. We have all been blessed with the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is the word of God. All of us. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So the fullness of Jesus Christ is given to us, and through this fullness we have the capacity to realize all that God has for us. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 16 verse 15, he said, all that the Father has is mine. So you and I have been given a spirit, a soul, and a heart, so that we can realize what God has given us. And we have chosen to symbolize the fact that we have a spirit and a soul in these terms, right? With these three symbolisms, right? The symbol of the rectangle at the top is your soul. The symbol of the circle at the bottom of the rectangle is your spirit. And this larger rectangle that rises from parts of your soul and your spirit, we shall call it your heart. And your heart is the functional balance that God has achieved in you. I'm now referring all this to born-again Christians. I'm not talking about the non-Christian world, because this does not apply to the non-Christian world. I'm talking about born-again Christians, right? So your heart is a functional balance that brings your soul and your spirit into all that God has designed you to become. And in each one of us, all of us who have come alive to God by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, there is some level at which we are operating where our soul and our spirit have a balance in God. The soul is the place where you make choices, all right? Your spirit is where God enables you to function. Your heart is where the two come together in God. All right? Obviously, you can use your heart to do anything you want it to do. Right? Obviously, you can also use your soul to do whatever you want it to do. You can also, therefore, misuse what God puts into your spirit depending on your own will. Now, your soul is made up of three functional realities: your mind, your emotions, your will. That makes up your soul. Now, all of these things were given to you by God. They have a design and a purpose in God. So there's nothing inherently bad about your mind or your emotions or your will. But in our fallen man, we use our mind, our emotions, and our will to do some strange things. Things that are in contradiction to God's purposes and God's will and God's plans. And even right now, all of us have a capacity to use our mind, our will, and our emotions in ways that stand in contradiction to God. We all have that capacity. All we have to do is to think it and to choose it and to do it, right? And we can do strange things. But actually, God has designed this part of you to be enabled through what your spirit man has received from God, so that you can choose and function, right? And this ability to choose and function in a balance is what your heart is meant to be. The Bible speaks of your heart becoming a heart of flesh. And this heart of flesh is of the substance of Christ Jesus' fullness. Obviously, your heart grows as you make the right choices. Your heart grows as you make the right choices. Your spirit may have the capacity to pray, or God may have imparted the spirit of prayer to your spirit man, but your soul has to choose to pray. And actually, we function, right, in a balance within our heart. And this heart, God means to create as a heart of flesh. Now, if you have done the teachings, you have listened to the teachings in this ministry for a long time, you will also realize that this heart of flesh is meant to be circumcised. It is meant to be circumcised so that you can function by the Holy Spirit in all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, all right? So this heart of flesh is designed to enable your soul and your spirit to operate by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. This is what a pure heart means. A heart able to do this is a pure heart. Obviously, there are different degrees of purity. All right? Obviously, there are different degrees of purity. And these different degrees of purity are actualized as you grow in the Lord. But you need to understand something, that these different degrees of purity come out as you learn how to function. It is important for you to understand this. You cannot be a Christian in theory. You cannot be a Christian with theology and doctrines. You have to be a Christian in practice. And when I say in practice, it means in the expressions of your soul, your spirit, and your heart. That's where it has to come out. And you measure things by the way you act. You measure things by the intents of what is inside of your heart. and you make corrections. Let me show you a passage of scripture from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read for context from verse 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is really the dwelling place of God, the mount of the Lord. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. So we are already enrolled in heaven right now, if you are born again. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. The spirits of righteous men. Made perfect. All right. This reality of righteous men made perfect comes out of your soul. But what this word says, right, is that it is your spirit in which this righteous men made perfect is configured out of. So the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Obviously, perfect is not an absolute state, because we cannot have absolute states as a creature. The absolute state is with God. But nonetheless, we are being perfected. And we are being perfected in righteousness. Righteousness is what we do in thought, word, and deed. We do something when we think. It's the beginnings of doing something. When we say something, everything we say has an intent, whether you understand it or not. When you scold your wife, right? When you scold your wife because something is not right in the morning, there is an intent that you are expressing, probably from your subconscious and your unconscious, through your words. And your words are doing something. In this case, because it is spoken in anger, you are inflicting something, and there is an intent behind it. And the intent is not a righteous intent. Correct? Because our definition of righteousness comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. No Christian can explain that away. Because that is the basis in which God comes to us and meets us and deals with us. If God came to us with the righteousness of the law, every one of us here sitting here would be dead meat. We would have no future ahead of us. We would be dead. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you are Moses and Elijah rolled up into one. So God meets us in His righteousness, and His righteousness is expressed through the cross. And everything that is of the righteousness of God has to be accepted by us. Has to be accepted by us. And so when we manifest righteousness, what has been accepted by us on the cross is what we are supposed to express. And we don't do that. And whenever we don't do that, we are denying the cross. And denying the cross is unrighteousness. We should actually call it wickedness. It is actually evil. All right? So this ability to function, right, is righteousness expressed. We are meant to be righteous men made perfect. Right? And the degree in which we are perfected is expressed in our spirits. But this word men, right, men made perfect, refers to your soul. Right? That means your soul has realized a position where it is able to function through its spirit, right, in subjection to God. Everything in subjection to God, as far as we are concerned personally, is by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. This is what Romans 8:2 calls the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You remember when God created Adam, what did He give him? He gave him made him a living soul, correct? Right? Made Adam a living soul. Correct? And what was that living soul? It was basically this, right? He gave Adam a soul, and he gave Adam a spirit. And that spirit is where the living was expressed. God was going to develop this spirit being, this spirit part of Adam, so that he would live and he would learn how to live by God. When Adam rejected God and chose to listen to another person, his spirit man died. Okay? So here Paul is talking about the spirit of life in Christ Jesus as a law for the new covenant people. We are to live by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't use the word Holy Spirit. He uses the term Spirit of Life. And the reason why he uses the term Spirit of Life is because he means two things. He means the Holy Spirit, yes. You and I are meant to learn how to live by the Holy Spirit. But the living by the Holy Spirit is configured in something that is called the Spirit of Christ. Right? Now, sometimes in the Bible, the Spirit of Christ refers to the person of the Holy Spirit, and that is true. But sometimes the Bible, and very often the Bible, speaks of the Spirit of Christ in terms of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, all configured in Christ through the cross. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. How is Christ formed in you? Through His Spirit. His Spirit is perfected inside of you. And righteous men made perfect have their spirits made perfect. What is it that makes the spirit of a man perfect? It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Right? How do you know how to do something the right way? That is our fundamental problem. Correct? We can receive an anointing to pray. But so often we find that intercessors can go off on tangents, isn't it? And end up doing all kinds of funny things. Why is that so? Because they have taken that anointing and they are using that anointing according to what they want to do as their soul brings it forth. Right? And so in the end, they do funny things. Same with prophets. Why is so much of the prophetic ministry today as we talk in the world so mixed up? Why is it we cannot trust so many prophets? Because of this. So what is it that gives credence to the spirit of prophecy? It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is only the Spirit of Jesus Christ that can make us righteous. Yeah? So when God announces the coming of a branch who will be righteous in the book of Jeremiah, he talked about the Messiah, declaring straight away that all righteousness will come through this Messiah. And then he applied the name of God to this Messiah. He called him Yahweh Tsidkenu. And Yahweh Tsidkenu is an expression of the righteousness that comes in the name of Jesus. Right? And this Messiah would bring this righteousness into man. And so we find in Hebrews the statement that the spirits of righteous men are being made perfect. Right? Are being made perfect. Okay? How are they being made perfect? Through the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ has been put to test on the cross. And it is perfect. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 tells us that the Spirit of Christ. Right? Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. Right? According to the Spirit of holiness. So what is this Spirit of holiness? It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And on the basis of this Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, Paul writes, is declared to be the Son of God. Are you listening? Hello? He was declared to be the Son of God. And this spirit of holiness becomes, or this spirit of Christ becomes the blueprint for a new man. That's why in Christian theology we call Jesus Christ the true man. He is the true man. He is the basis for you and me coming forth as God designed us to be from the foundations of the world. In order to bring that design to fulfillment inside of us, God has to manifest in us the spirit and life of Yeshua. It is in the spirit and life of Yeshua that we receive the character and nature necessary for us to live. Are you with me? We receive the ability to do the right thing, because that is our fundamental problem. It's no problem getting anointed. And if you are anointed, this is the problem you will have. How do I use that anointing in righteousness and holiness of the truth? It doesn't come with my territory. God has to manifest that anointing in righteousness and holiness of the truth through me in my own free will. And this is the problem with us. How do you and I do the right thing in our own free will? Jesus went to the cross in his own free will. Even when he was traumatized, he prayed, sweat blood, and said, "Father, let your will be done." Correct? And this is what we need to understand. All right? So this spirit of Christ has to be configured into our spirit man so that we can live. So in Romans 8:2, Paul says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see, in Christ Jesus. Where does this law operate? It operates in Christ Jesus. You get out of Christ Jesus, this law does not operate anymore. What is this law? This law is that by the Spirit, right? What does it mean by the Spirit? It means two things. By the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Christ that God has engineered inside of you and worked inside of you, right? You will live. You cannot live any other way. You cannot just live the kind of life God is giving you out of your own self. And this is the law of the new covenant. Anything has to come out of Christ Jesus. Anything that is of Christ Jesus has to be revealed to you in his spirit. And it has to be energized and worked into you by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. John 16, verse 14, right? He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. What is it that is of Christ that we need to receive? It's his spirit. Why is Yahweh Yireh, the name of God as the provider, given to us in the context of sacrifice? Why? Yahweh Yireh means God is the provider by name. But why does the provider have to come to you in the context of a sacrifice of a ram? Why has it got to be that? Because of this spirit. Because this spirit of Christ is the basis of all of God's provision. It's pointless giving you a big house if you live like a dog in that house. If the only capacity you carry in your soul is the capacity to live like a dog. Yeah? There's so many rich people who have a soul that is a soul of a beggar. They do not have the capacity to give. They have many possessions, but they have nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? There are many talented people who are very intelligent, who use that intelligence for their own ends. They are of no use to anybody else. Everything is for themselves. They draw ridiculous salaries, right? Live ridiculously hedonistic lives just for themselves. All their skills are used just to enrich themselves. It matters to them not that somebody else can't even find 1 rupee for a meal. It does not matter to themselves, right? As far as they are concerned, I am able to make money and I can spend the money I make any way I want. So the solution is for God to create the right spirit within us so that we will do the right thing. It is pointless having talents when we have seen in human history that all of those talents are used for unrighteousness. All of those talents, all of that creative potential that is inherent to the soul of man, inherent to the mind of man, is always crookedly applied. Always crookedly applied. Probably the best example of that was communism, isn't it? Supposed to be an egalitarian society where everyone lived for the other. Everyone was meant to be equal. Unsustainable, impractical. He didn't do anything. They were spending, the Russians were sending spaceships, but they could not put bread on the table. Their whole system collapsed. Right? Because the very philosophical intents of communism that excluded God from the picture was doomed to failure because man had no capacity in himself to make the right choices and do the right thing. Right? Today, one of the big problems with the Communist Party in China is that most Communist Party officials are corrupt from head to toe. Anyone who goes to do business in China has got tremendous problems with corruption. Right? The picture hasn't changed. The money is flowing in, but into whose pockets? Into whose pockets? Right? So you see, God, when he announced his provision, he announced it in the context of a sacrifice because this spirit of holiness had to come out of the cross. This spirit of holiness had to come out of the cross. And this spirit of holiness is the basis of everything else that makes you and I tick. But God didn't just give us the Spirit of Christ for our own use. He sent the Holy Spirit so that this Spirit that God is giving us, that is of Jesus Christ, will be applied rightly. So if you want to move in any attribute of the Spirit of Christ, and there are many attributes of the Spirit of Christ, for example, wisdom, faith, knowledge, understanding, right, strength, power, whatever you want. It is configured in the Spirit of Christ. The ability to do the right thing. The ability to have the right nature. All that is configured in the Spirit of Christ. But only the Holy Spirit can unveil it. Which is why you can find that if you are in ministry and you are anointed, and if you forget Jesus Christ, you will open the doors to the occult. It will come just by itself. And that's why people in frontline ministries can fall. Any one of us can fall. That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. Because if you don't remember me, you will die. Doesn't matter how anointed you are or how gifted you are. Because you have no inherent capacity to do what I give you by yourself. You have no inherent capacity to live by yourself. And if you choose to live by yourself, you will die. That's how God has configured you and me to live in eternity. Salvation is all about us learning to live by God. Salvation is based on that. Salvation will stop the moment you turn away from God. Because salvation needs God to prolong the process and to develop the process. It is not dependent on man. It is not dependent on the church. And this is one of the sad theologies of the Roman Catholic Church. It believes that the church saves. And it's tragic because it has trapped 1 billion people under this edifice called the church. With priests operating as mediators between God and man. And an imperfect man cannot be a mediator before God. And because of fundamental falsehoods like this, the Catholic Church is nothing but an edifice. And that's sad. It is so sad. Because there are so many good things that exist in the Catholic Church. There are people of works and they are willing to put things into practice. One of the key differences you find between a Protestant and a Catholic is a Catholic will go and do something. He wants to do something. Yeah. But if they had that right spirit behind what they are doing, it'll be a tremendous church. So the solution for the Catholic Church is to put back Jesus as King of the Church. If we have Jesus as the head, everything else will fall into its place. But if Jesus is not the head, nothing is going to go forward. Remember this, you and I have no inherent capacity to live by ourselves. It is foolishness to think so and to do so. You're not going to be blessed like that. And Paul has configured that, right, into a statement, right, that is a law. He declares this as the law of the New Testament. If you want to live, you live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And all of that life is described in the Spirit of Christ. All right? Now, the Spirit of Christ is called the Spirit of Adoption. Can someone help me to clean this board first so that I can keep talking? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, and the spirit of slavery is the spirit of sin. It is a spiritual reality of sin. How do you identify that sin is operating in your life when you are a slave? Slave to your appetites, slave to yourself, slave to your ambitions, right? When you have no freedom, when you are constrained by fear, the opinions of others, when you are constrained, right, by a whole bunch of things that imprisons you, right? When you learn how to walk by the Holy Spirit, it comes as a freedom into your inward parts. There is a liberty in your inward parts. And that's one of the things that we are trying to bring forth in our worship services, that you will learn to express that freedom, not fearing the fact that you may make a mistake. Every one of us makes mistakes. Standing behind this pulpit and preaching, I make mistakes too. Yeah? So there's nothing wrong in making mistakes because we are human. God doesn't expect us to be otherwise. But all things that we make mistakes about have the potential of being corrected, of being transformed by the power of God. So, verse 15, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Right? That's the root form of sin. It puts you in fear. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. What is this spirit of adoption? This spirit of adoption is the spirit of Christ. This spirit of adoption is the spirit of Christ. Let's turn to Galatians. Keep your finger on Romans 8, but let's just turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Rather, Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it is the Spirit of the Son, which is called the Spirit of Adoption, that cries out, Abba, Father. All right? Now, when Paul writes the Spirit of the Son, you need to understand two things. The Spirit of the Son comes to us by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come by itself. But the Spirit of the Son is also the Spirit of Christ. So you need to understand when you have a big capital S and a small R-I-T, all right? This always means, most often means two things, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ. All right? The Spirit of Christ is the anointing that forms your ability to live, all right, and do the right thing. The Holy Spirit is the one who manages the Spirit of Christ within you. Are you with me? You cannot function in the Spirit of Christ without the person of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do that. It will never come. And this is why worship is a relationship with God. Worship is no mere song and a dance. The capacity to bow down before God is a prerequisite for you to come alive to the Holy Spirit. It's a prerequisite for you to come alive to God the Father. It is a prerequisite for you to come alive to the Word of God. The Word as the person of Jesus Christ. Worship is absolutely necessary, right? So your capacity to bow before God is so crucial to how you will function, right? So if you want to function in the Spirit of Christ, the prerequisite to that is that you acknowledge who God is. And you acknowledge who God is through this word called worship. God is God to us only through worship. Only in worship do you recognize that God is God. There is no other way in which you can recognize that God is God. First, worship. Yes, you can have the wisdom of God operating through you, and then you can say, I can see God in His wisdom. Yes, but if you have not worshipped God, He will not come to you. Right? Because God demands worship. Hello. God demands worship. It is not a request. It is a demand. It is a demand. It is a demand because you have to recognize Him as God. Yes, He is your Father, but He is first your God. He's not like your human father whom you can treat any way you want and get away with it. But God is your Father, and He is God the Father. And He is God first and then your Father. Yes, He loves you far more than any human father can ever love you. He has a passion for you far more than any human father can have for you. That is absolutely true. But it comes out of the context of Him being God. In the same way, when you talk about Jesus Christ, you must always understand that Jesus comes to you as Savior. But in the end, He has to really be first Lord in your life. Lord relates to the fact that He is God. He is God, and He is to be recognized as God. He is not your buddy-buddy. Now, He can function as your friend. There is no doubt about that. And one day we will all learn how to function with Jesus, our friend, who is also will be our husband. But He will also be God to us. Yeah? The same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not merely experience. And whenever we think we are moving by the Holy Spirit because it is experiential and because we feel like this and feel like that, we are doing something fundamentally incorrect. Because the Holy Spirit is first God before He comes to you as the one by the person by whom you function in anointings. Yes, functioning in anointings is experiential. It is also word-based, by the way. But the function doesn't mean anything by itself if you do not recognize the person of the Holy Spirit, and He has to be God. And if you're looking at why people do funny things when they say they are moving by the Spirit, it is because somewhere along the line they have lost the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. That the Holy Spirit is God. And He's not to be trifled with. The moment you start thinking, you know, it's very easy for us to just move. Right? In the realm of the spiritual, I say this realm of the spiritual because we are spiritual beings. Right? In spiritual terms, it is very easy for us to just move in terms of anointings. And the danger with doing that is that you forget about the fact that God is God. And you can do it at the speed of thought. You can do it at the speed of thought. So easy. It is so easy to build your ministry on anointings and giftings. Never do that. Build your ministry based on your worship relationship with God. That means you never move into anything without first worshiping God. I get up in the morning before I preach on a Sunday, right? And I spend time with God and I worship Him, right? Because that is the basis of whatever else I speak, right? I know I am anointed. I know I can stir the anointing by simply praying in tongues. I know that too. But I do spend that time giving God His rightful place. He has to be God over me when I move in the anointing. He has to be God over me when I preach and I teach. If he is not, the whole teaching and the whole preaching and the whole praying is not worth a bar of soap. That applies to every one of us. So when you come to play your guitar, you better spend that time to worship God so that that guitar strings will be played as you worship God. And it's a big difference when you worship God and you can see the difference. Yeah? Yeah. When you don't spend that time and you get into the habit of doing worship, huh? And there are people here who do that. Get into the habit of doing it. Huh? Take a guitar and just... or take a piano and just play a few bars, and you can sing well anyway, so you can just sing. Right? And eventually, because other people want to worship God, the anointing will come anyway. Yeah? God will respond, isn't it? Because he responds when you're in the collective. He doesn't just respond to one person. He responds to a body. Yeah? And you get away with it. And you can spend years getting away with it and thinking, I'm doing well. Yeah? And it's a whole... it's a whole deception. It's a whole deception. Yeah? So please understand this, okay? So the spirit of adoption is the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ that is brought alive to you by the Holy Spirit. There is no adoption without the spirit of promise working inside of you. That's why the Holy Spirit is also called the spirit of promise. You find that in the book of Ephesians. Let's turn to that. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Important declaration. You are sealed in Christ Jesus. We all like to say we are in Christ Jesus. But you are sealed in this position by the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice that he uses the term Holy Spirit of promise. He doesn't simply say Spirit of promise. Yeah? Holy Spirit of promise. Why? Because he's speaking about the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying everything that is in Christ Jesus is dependent on how the Holy Spirit works. And if his sovereignty as the Holy Spirit, who is God, is not recognized, then you're going to open doors to the new spirit, to a different kind of spirit. Yeah? And if that becomes habitual, I'm not saying that every time you make a mistake, the wrong spirit comes and you start moving in the occult. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you move like this habitually, then you will find that the wrong doors will be opened. Yeah? That's why John says, when those who carry the spirit of the Antichrist, they came out from amongst us. How can someone carrying the spirit of the Antichrist come out from amongst us? Very simple. Because the spirit of the Antichrist takes the place of Christ. We are created as a subordinate being. You cannot exist by yourself. If God is not reigning in you, somebody else is going to be reigning in you. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. So you better make your choice whether you want God to reign in you or you want some other spirit to reign in you. Yep. Are you with me? Right? So the Holy Spirit of promise is very necessary for us to understand how this spirit of adoption works. And the spirit of adoption inside of you comes with a witness that you are sons of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. All right? And you can check out in your own heart whether God is indeed Abba, Father or not. Whether that is there, you're just simply saying it, or whether it is real. And each one of us can individually check this out. Yeah? Some people have a problem with recognizing God as their Father. All right. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I want to explain that. The Holy Spirit, and for this purpose I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in a box. He's not in a box, okay? Please don't get me wrong, okay? Right. Holy Spirit, your spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But this witness is communicated through the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the Son. It's the Spirit of sonship. What does it mean to be a son unto God? We don't know. It doesn't come with us. Yeah? So what does it mean to be a son unto God? What does it mean? Right? To be alive to God, like Jesus was alive to God. How was he able, right, to pray the whole night after a hard day's ministry in the wilderness? How did he do that? Where did he find the strength? Where did he find the desire? Right? All those are real questions we have to ask. How did he walk on water? What was the reality he carried? How did he walk on water? How did he sleep in the storm? How do you sleep in a storm? You can't figure it out. Yeah? How do you sleep in a storm? How did he tell Peter, come? And Peter was able to walk just based on that word, come. And as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. What is this reality? What is the communication of the Spirit of Christ that enabled Peter to walk? Right? As long as Peter could see Jesus, when he took his eyes off Jesus, then he sank. But as long as he was able to see Jesus, there was a channel of communication between Jesus and him, and Jesus was able to enable him to walk. Now, there is a spiritual reality like that. You will find that in your Christian life, if you can keep your eyes on Jesus, you can walk on water. Yes. That things will not be impossible. That you will be able to move into things that your natural mind will say are impossible to do. And you will know spiritually that the way will be clear. Yeah? Somebody was arguing with me about finances for the church and saying, you know, we don't have enough money. I said, you walk into it and the money will come. And I've said, I've learned this for so many years, after so many years in ministry. I know this even as I know that I can walk from here to there. Yeah, I know it. It is not a question of faith anymore. It is a fact. As long as we are doing the right thing, God will provide. Somewhere along the line, it will come. How it will come, I can't tell you, but I know it will come. And it's not even faith anymore. It's a fact. It is the evidence of that faith. Yeah? Yeah? So you really need to understand that that fact or that evidence is configured in the Spirit of Christ. So when we talk about walking in the witness of God, right? You are here. You have a big mouth. You have your spirit here. That's your navel. I'll just draw a box here. You have a heart here. Okay, this is your inward man, right? Between your heart and your mouth, God brings a witness, right? And you can function in this witness by speaking forth what God has put inside of you. But what you speak forth is determined by what this witness carries in the Spirit of Christ. Huh? It is not based on your spirit. It is based on the way in which You have given expression to the Spirit of Christ that is in your spirit. Are you listening? So when you know that something is going to come forth and you know it, that knowing comes from the Spirit of Christ. It does not come from your spirit. Hello? Yes, the Spirit of Christ is resident in your spirit. But there is a world of the difference between functioning in Christ and functioning in your spirit. The two are not the same. Can you function in your spirit, man? Yes, you can. But you are called to function in Christ. Now, this in Christ reality is configured into your spirit, man. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is meant to orchestrate this in Christ reality that is configured into your spirit, man, so that you can function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Okay? So the confidence comes out of the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who configures that whole confidence. You don't cook it up by yourself. Some people say, I believe, brother. And then 2 days later, they are in full-time ministry and they are ready on their pathway to starvation. Hello, have you met such people? Out of their emotions, they want to serve God. There may be no doubt that God actually told them that they were supposed to serve Him. But instead of waiting for God to prepare them, or for the Holy Spirit to ensure that that witness is from God, because God is not committed to upholding any other witness but His own. Hello. God will only uphold that which stands in accordance with who He is and all that He is. He is not committed to uphold anything else. He's not committed to uphold anything else. And unless something inside of you is of who God is and all that God is, He is not obliged to uphold it. Yeah? Covenant is based on who God is and all that God is. Blood covenant is tied to who God is and all that God is, because Jesus Christ went to the cross in recognition of who God is and all that God is. He didn't go to the cross just for you and me, brother. You got to understand this. First God, then you and me. All right? So when he shed his blood before God. And God honored that blood because it was manifested in the witness of the Spirit of holiness. Holiness is an attribute of God. Holiness only comes about when something is entirely 100% consecrated to God. It does not come because you and I pray 24 hours a day. You understand what I'm saying? Holiness only comes when something actually belongs to God. You and I are holy according to what is of God or what belongs to God that is within us. Are you with me? Yeah? All right. So Jesus Christ consecrated Himself to God for us. Hello. To God for us. And it is because it was to God that God was able to take that Spirit of Christ sacrificed for us through His bodily sacrifice, and He is able to multiply it and manifest that Spirit into each one of us by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Right? And that's crucial. Yeah, it's crucial. Praise the Lord. All right, let me show you another picture of the Spirit of Christ. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and 11 or verse 10, 11 and 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And if you go through the writings of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, if you go through the writings of David, you will find this kind of a reality manifested. You will also find this kind of a reality manifested or imputed in the writings of Moses. All right? What was Moses or Joshua or Jeremiah or Isaiah functioning in? What were they functioning in? The Bible says here, the Spirit of Christ. Now, the reason why Peter is writing the Spirit of Christ is to make a point of two things. Two things. First, that he's talking first about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is coming as the Spirit of Christ into these prophets. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings the Spirit of Christ into them, and they are able to talk with God and discuss things with God and to understand things that God wanted them to know and hear and write. Are you with me? Okay? But you need to understand the communicative medium was the Spirit of Christ. The medium by which you can understand and perceive and know the things of God is in the Spirit of Christ. That's why it comes to us as the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel. Why are these four spiritual manifestations there? Don't we have natural wisdom? Some of us are pretty wise in ourselves, isn't it? But it won't work where God is concerned. You cannot communicate with God with your natural wisdom. You cannot communicate with God with your natural understanding. It has to be by the Spirit of Christ. And so the Old Testament prophets, right? Now this is why when Adam and Eve fell, a sacrifice was made. So that God could talk to them through the Spirit of Christ, selectively by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Without that shedding of blood, there would be no basis for man to commune with God anymore. Man was finished, and Satan knew that. And he was challenging God. You said, you're going to replace me with these turkeys? I will kill them and show you that you will never be able to bring them back. Yeah, but God did the impossible. He did the impossible through Christ, and Satan couldn't figure that out. He couldn't figure that out. He couldn't figure out that God would be able through Christ and his shed blood to work with us. Satan thought that if God is a holy God and a perfect God, he cannot possibly commune and talk with a sinner. That was the intellectual premise on which Satan tempted Adam. Right? Because he knew and he knew and he knew nobody could save this man once he sinned against God. Why? Because he had stood before the holiness of God and he understood the holiness of God intellectually, or rather finally, after he fell. And he knew that God in his holiness would never be able to commune with man, right, if man fell. But what did God do? He shed the blood of Jesus Christ over man. And he opened a plan of development under this shed blood of the Lamb for each one of us. And he sent his Holy Spirit to us because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. So the Holy Spirit can talk to us. So that the Holy Spirit could talk to us. Now this is why Holy Communion is important, because every time we celebrate Holy Communion, we are invoking the witness of the blood of the Lamb. It is the basis of atonement. It's the basis on which you and I can actually receive the person of the Holy Spirit and be able to function with him. It's the basis in which we can talk with God our Father. Without the blood, you and I are nobodies. That's why I disagree with people who say they have paid the price for their ministry. You cannot pay the price for your ministry. It is absolutely impossible, because the premise on which you can even come before God, or even imagine you can come before God, is only because of the blood of Jesus, not because of whether you have prayed 24 hours of the day. From our self-denominated thought process, we think that if I've prayed enough, I've done enough work, I should get it. Isn't that how we study for our examinations? I've done enough work, I've worked so hard, I should get the reward. Or you go to your boss and in your annual review and say, you need to promote me. I have worked so hard and you need to promote me. I deserve that promotion. But in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work like that. We are all promoted on the basis of grace upon grace. never merit upon merit. And grace is imputed to us based on the merits of Jesus Christ, merits of the Lamb. We must never forget this. It'll save your life if you don't forget that. Yeah? So God is manifesting to us the Spirit of Christ, and that Spirit of Christ is the means by which, right? So if you listen to what Peter is writing here, he said the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry. They spent time with God, and through the Spirit of Christ, God enabled them to understand what they could not understand. Are you listening? Hello? God enabled them to understand what they could not understand. It is not a small thing to sit down and write the Word of God. All right? Hello? All these guys were men who had failings in their character and their nature. Ezekiel even writes, right? When the Spirit took him, he was embittered in his spirit. He was angry. How dare you take me? Why would God take a man who was angry with him and then speak to him? Come off it. Yeah? Yeah. He was just like us, isn't it? It's like God has to drag us before he gets anything out of us. All right. Made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You see, everything was based, the ability to tell the future, the ability to talk about things that would come, the ability to describe and write with the confidence that this is the Word of God. Can you imagine the prophet who went naked because God told him to go naked? Hello. Hello. Which fellow will go out and say, God spoke to me, I will walk naked in the streets? Hello, would you do it? Unless you are absolutely, 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 absolutely sure that this is God demanding this. Yeah? I think it was Isaiah, isn't it? Was it Isaiah? Yeah? It was Isaiah, right? Do you know that Isaiah was a prince of Judah? A prince of the nation of Israel. He was not just an ordinary fellow. Yeah? Okay. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So we are going to stop here. And we are going to stop here because I think you have received enough for today. What have we tried to do today? Talk about the spirit of adoption. Talk about the basis of communion with God. And all of that communion is engineered in the Spirit of Christ. Okay? Next week we will talk about the deeper dimensions of this communion and how it manifests itself. All right? Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as your word is open to us, we can begin to understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that you have fearfully and wonderfully made us. And our Christian life and being a Christian is such a reality of an awesome wonder. And it's meant to be realized in each one of us uniquely. You have left no one out. And we thank you that you mean to do great things with each one of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our hearts to understand the preeminence of Christ. To understand, O Lord, that it is the Holy Spirit who can enable us to function in the Spirit of Christ. That although the Spirit of Christ is configured into us, to rightfully use the Spirit of Christ is a reality that can only come forth by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Father, that you will enable us to come alive to the person of the Holy Spirit, that we will understand that he is God, that we will understand that what we do in the name of Jesus is manifested only by the person of the Holy Spirit, that he is the one who makes God alive to us. He is the one who makes your word alive to us. And it is through your word that we come alive to the things of the Spirit. Father, open us that we will rightfully use our soul and spirit for your glory, understanding that such a utilization can only come forth by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. May we understand this and may we grow in this so that we can become the instruments that you want us to be. As you enlarge our hearts, as you enlarge our spirits, as you transform our souls, Father, we bless you that you are creating the sons of God, that in Christ Jesus we are being created, that we are each the workmanship of the living God, and we are meant to walk into the good works you have ordained in each one of our lives. We look forward to the adventure, Lord, and it is an adventure to walk with you, to realize the amazing potentials of Jesus Christ in each one of us. We bless the name of Jesus, and we thank you that the name of Jesus has been given to us both as an inheritance and as a possession. For of his fullness we have all received. And may his fullness come alive in us entirely by the Holy Spirit, so that we will not misuse what you have given us in Jesus Christ. In the vastness of the universe, it is amazing that we are sons of God. We bless you for that fact. And we bless you for that witness that is alive in us. Come and fill us. Come and sanctify us. Come and transform us. Come and renew us and regenerate us, Lord. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.